Al-Bayan Radio presents the following lesson live from Masjid Al-Azhar, Bilmo.
I bear witness and testify that there is no Lord worthy of being worshipped except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I bear witness and testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and final messenger. My brothers and my sisters, firstly I would like to thank you all for attending tonight's lecture or lesson or reminder. I'd like to thank those that are watching us live on Facebook and those who are following, whether it is Al-Azhar page or Al-Bayan. And I'd like to thank Ahl Sunnah Wal Jama'ah, Bilmo, Masjid Al-Azhar, for accommodating this lecture tonight. And is a lecture entitled, When Lions Weep. Now I've entitled the lecture, When Lions Weep, because we're going to be discussing both lions of this ummah, the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and examples of he himself, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the companions and the pious predecessors, the Salaf al-Salih, in circumstances and times and events where they wept for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We'll be discussing weeping in general, and knowing that when we say when lions weep, we're discussing those individuals and the reason why they do cry. And you will notice that every single one of them are crying for one reason. That is ultimately they're crying from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so when we discuss crying in general, we need to understand that crying is a natural occurrence in any person. Just like every other emotion and then the reaction from that emotion. And so when you get happy, you begin to smile. And if the happiness extends, you might even laugh. And that is okay because it's natural. And the same with sadness. And if you're sad, then you cry. But with crying, it's different because you might cry in other circumstances. Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah, rahimahullah, he mentioned many reasons why you might cry. Sadness, of course, for many of us would be the obvious reason. But there are many others. He mentioned crying from fear, crying from fear, crying from mercy, crying from love, crying from humbleness, crying from happiness. But we need to understand that every situation here is a natural occurrence. So having fear of the unknown, or having fear from an enemy, or having fear from an animal that might then attack you, this is a normal situation for you to then feel emotional and may cry. But ultimately, the only fear that a Muslim should have is the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is an act of worship. Because every other fear, we said, is a natural occurrence. But when we fear to gain reward, to get closer to God, then it must be from and for and only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the same with love. And see, some of us, from the love of our children, the love of our parents, for the love of our spouse, we might weep when we see them hurt, when we see them going through pain or stress, when we see them departing this world. And so that love that we have for them allows us to weep, and that is okay as well, because that is natural. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself, when faced with this, he did cry. And when asked, Ya Rasulullah, even you are crying. When you see the death of a child, he said, indeed, this is mercy. Indeed, this is mercy that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed in our hearts. For indeed, the eye does shed a tear, and the heart does ache, and we are paining the farewell of your, O Ibrahim. And so the many, many reasons that we face throughout our life, for the reasons of crying, the most important for every single one of us is to cry or to weep for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he mentioned those that will be shaded on a day that there will be no shade except the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned one, that it is a person that when they are secluded alone, then they weep from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why is it mentioned alone? And why from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is because when you're alone, usually, it is a time where the devil will take advantage of you. And you're secluded amongst your own self. And then and there, you might then sin and transgress. But if you take that time alone, and then you turn the tables upon the Iblis, and you begin to remember Allah, His greatness, and you begin to fear His punishment and the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to all of the sins that you carry, and then you start to weep, then you are deserving of the shade of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where there is no shade except His shade. And on a day that every single one of us are looking for some refuge. See, my brothers and my sisters, many of us, we have wept for the sake of Allah. Some of us knowingly, some of us unknowingly, but we have. See, sometimes we listen to the Quran and not knowing why, we begin to cry. We don't know why. Some of us don't even understand what we are listening to. But the recitation itself, it pierced the heart. And something happened within your mind, within your heart, your skin, and the hairs stand on end, and you begin to weep. And it feels so good. And it feels so good, not the fact that you're crying, because you know that why you are crying is because of the words of God, and the words of God are of God. It's an attribute of Him. The Quran is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From it began, and to Him it will return. And so when you weep from listening to the Quran, you understand that there was something in your heart, and it gives you optimism. It gives you optimism that there was something, and I felt it, and it was beautiful, and I want to feel it again. But then it might go months and years without even feeling it. Ramadan after Ramadan, recitation after recitation, and that tear doesn't come back. And so you're in search of it constantly. But then one day, you need to understand that it will return. But you need to make the effort. You need to take that first step. You need to move towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, for lions to cry, it takes a lot. And the reason why we mentioned a lion is because the ummah is filled with lions, those the men and the women. And when they stand before man, invincible. Whether it's in their knowledge, the scholars of Islam, whether in their faith, because you know you are the best. Because anyone who says La ilaha illallah is the best. And whoever believes that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last messenger of God and he follows his sunnah, then you are the best. And whoever recites the Quran and teaches the Quran, you are the best. And whoever calls to Allah, you are the best. Not because I said so, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you so. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed you of this. When Allah said there is no better speech than the one that calls to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the best of you are the ones who learn the Quran and then teach the Quran. And see, the best of you are the ones that forbid the evil, and you forbid it the way Allah wants you to forbid it, bil hikmah wal maw'izah al hasan, with wisdom and beautiful speech. And you change it with your hand if you can, and you change it with your tongue if you can. But if you can't, then in your heart you hate it. And when you hate it and you have a passion for hating anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hates, and you stand before it and the rest of your family, and you stand before it before the rest of the Muslim ummah, and you will stop it wherever you can. And so if you hate something for the sake of Allah, you will never sit in the presence of anyone committing that act. See, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you that the voice of shaitan is music, and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam informs you that one day people will make halal what is haram, and one of them is al-ma'az of musical instruments. And so when you hate this, you hate it with passion, then you change it with your hand if you can. And in certain places you can. See, in your home, you can. See, with your wife, you can. And even with your husband, you can, my sister. بِالْحِكْمَةِ وَالْمَوْعِذَةِ الْحَسَنِ With wisdom. See, if it's with your child, you can. You can take that phone away. You can take that tablet away. You can take the television away. The radios away. You can do it with your hand. But do it in a way that they will not return, whether in your presence or behind your back. You do it with hikmah, with wisdom. And so when you hate something for the sake of Allah, you stand before it and before the rest of the ummah. You don't bring it to the masjid. You don't bring it to your family. You don't aid your family. You don't take your family to a place of munkar. So you stop it. And then you also enjoin what is good. You call for it. You support it with your wealth. You support it with your time. You volunteer in the houses of Allah. You volunteer in the houses of Allah to bring people to Allah. So you love it with a passion. So you are the best. And that is why when we're talking about lions, we're talking about individuals that we see. See, not being a lion is not always in strength. Not always in strength. See, being a lion is in yaqeen, certainty in your heart. Being a lion is with sincerity. That if you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you might look like the weakest person. You might look like the poorest person. You might be a person with a disease, a person with an illness, a person with a disability. You might be an outcast. You might be an orphan. But if you have sincerity and you call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then He will answer you. And He'll gain you strength and He'll give you strength. Then who could be in front of you? And who can stand before you? See, we're talking about lions here. And yes, when a lion weeps, he weeps only for the sake of Allah. Truly, for the sake of Allah. Yes, many of us feel that this is impossible. See, my heart is turned to stone. And look what's happening in the ummah. I honestly don't even shed a tear anymore. See, I see the news. I read what's happening now in Gaza. I read what's happening now in Syria still. And what's happening in Iraq and Kashmir. I still read that. I still see pictures of young 5-6-year-old kids in Syria freezing to death. In the North Lebanon, freezing to death from the winter. Have we shed a tear? Or have we become desensitized? See, I listen to Quran. And many of you listen to the Quran. See, we listen to the hadith of Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. But when was the last time we shed a tear? See, we do, and we do need to. Our hearts are hard. So we need to turn back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there are many ways. There are many ways. So let us continue discussing crying in general. There's a type of crying that many of us have seen. That is it's a crying of sin. And you might say, how is it a crying of sin? You see many people crying when they're watching soap operas. See, many, many cry when their boyfriend or their girlfriend leaves them. See, many cry when Michael Jackson died or when, you know, this person died or that person died. Many, many people cried. See, many people cried for the death of those who fought against Allah. Many people cried for oppressors. See, when leaders of nations that were oppressing their nations die, and you see many people crying. See, that crying in itself, if it is from their heart, then this in itself is a sin. This in itself is a sin. Crying because of a man that oppressed a nation. Crying because your loved one, the love of that which is haram, had left you, forsaken you, blocked you on the phone, turned his back on you, and so you shed a tear. Uncontrollable. Some people go to the extent where they're not even controlling their emotions anymore. See, when many people saw the death of certain individuals in the community, these Hollywood actors and actresses, these singers, people who killed themselves or were killed, or people who died, and yet we cry And you see many Muslims sending their condolences and crying and saying, how could this happen? For those who went against Islam, for those who went against the teachings of Islam, see, that is a crying of sin. Crying for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a sign of iman, faith. See, when you cry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it first proves to you that there is some love for Allah. And that love, yes, has a mixture of fear. See, we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we do. As Muslims, we do, and we always show that love in our obedience, inshaAllah. But also we have fear, because we know we haven't shown Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what He deserves. We haven't given from our worship what He has asked. And so when we are reminded, we feel fear. We feel fear that if we face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what are we going to answer? We feel fear that we know that if we asked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have no answer. Because the answer is worse than the actual act of leaving the act of worship. Why didn't you pray? Laziness? Why didn't you pray? Because you were working, making the wealth that God promised you in the first place? Why didn't you pray? Because you felt embarrassed of praying in public? Why didn't you pray? See, we can't even give you that answer. And most of us don't have an answer. And so when we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's because we know definitely we're going to meet Him. And we know definitely He will judge us. And He is just. He is just. And He is the most merciful. But we still fear the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith mentioned, which is narrated Hassan by Shaykh al-Albani rahimahullah. Then Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he saw the angel Mika'il, he said to Jibreel, why isn't Mika'il smiling? I haven't seen Mika'il smiling. And the angel Mika'il, one of the greatest creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Mika'il, having this face without a smile, so the answer was that Mika'il had never smiled after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the hellfire. See, the problem is that we don't know. We don't know. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said to his companions, if you knew what I knew, if you knew what I knew, then you would laugh less and cry more. See, the problem is we don't know. See, if we did know, it might make it a bit easy. And I say might because we're still humans and we make mistakes. But it will be a little bit easier for us to actually then move forward and sacrifice everything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he used to sit with his companions, he would remind them of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that one of the companions, he said, we were sitting with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he began to speak. And he began to speak in a way and reminding us of Allah that we've never heard before. And he said, I noticed that all the companions put down their heads and covered their face with their hands and began to weep uncontrollably. And so, it is not uncommon for you to come to the remembrance of Allah and hear a reminder of Islam and you begin to weep. And see, if you notice that everything that gets you closer to Allah begins with Allah. It begins with reading His book. It begins with remembering Him. It begins by coming to His house. It begins by loving His messenger. It begins by following His messenger. You have to go to Allah. See, if you fear Allah, you need to flee to Allah. See, if you fear anyone in this dunya, you always flee from that person. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you fear Him, then you need to flee to Him. Because salvation is only with Allah. See, protection is only with Allah, because Jannah and Nar is only with Allah, and the mercy of Allah has encompassed it all. And so if we want the mercy of Allah, we need to turn to Allah. We need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told one of the companions and he said to him, read to me. Read for me the Quran. He said, Ya Rasulullah, I read the Quran to you, and upon you it came down. See, the Quran came to you. You want me to read? He said, I love to listen to someone read. I love to listen. For all those who read Quran constantly, for all those who teach Quran constantly, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter you Jannah. But at times you will even say, I want to listen to the Quran. See, you reciting the Quran, you're rewarded. And you're rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is no count for the reward that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you. But we need to, as Muslims, to listen to the Quran. If Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself asked and requested one of the companions to recite the Quran, and when the Quran was recited, upon the man it was delivered to, the companion turned to him and he saw him weeping. And so he stopped. You see, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he recites the Quran, or when he listens to the Quran, he feels it. See, he understands it. And the closer you are to understanding the Quran, the more likely you will fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Quran, the more likely you will weep because of the Quran. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that two eyes will never see the hellfire. Two eyes will never see the hellfire. One is an eye that was teary from the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second, the one eye that stayed up nights protecting the ummah on watch in the battlefield. So comparing the two, one of the salaf, he said, it is better for me to cry from the sake of Allah than to donate in charity my weight worth of gold. And the reason is, you ask, why do these Salaf al-Saleh mention this? It's because, as I said from the beginning, crying from the sake and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is proof of fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But when you give for the sake of Allah, where's the proof? See, the proof is hard to touch, hard to feel. So you might feel good in your heart for giving, but is that mixed with some riya, some show off, is it? We don't know. But when you cry for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your heart knows and understands why you weep. It's because you heard verses of the Quran that shook you to the core. See, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about heaven and talks about hell, and you remember this, and you know that one day you will face Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be either in heaven or hell, and then you weep. But with Uthman radiallahu anhu, a man who used to be called the one that loves the Quran, who was named the martyr of the Quran, he was sitting once at a graveyard and he was crying, and they said, oh Uthman, you read in the Quran about heaven and hell and you do not cry, and here now at the grave you are crying? He said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the grave is the first stop between you and the hereafter, here and the final abode. Here, if it is bliss, then the rest of the journey is easy. But here, if it is difficult, then the rest of the journey is even more difficult. See, Uthman radiallahu anhu understood. See, Uthman radiallahu anhu, when he fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and meeting Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is based upon his knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And how does he then get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? He was narrated in Nafi' that Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he would read verses of the Quran, one in particular, أَلَمْ يَأْنِ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَن تَخْشَعْ قُلُوبُهُمْ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Isn't it about time? Isn't it about time? The ones that believe that their hearts feel humble and fear towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whenever he would read this verse, he'll begin to cry uncontrollably. Masruq, rahimahullah, he said, I read the verses to Aisha. فَمَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَوَقَانَ عَذَابُ السَّمُومِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then proves himself to these people and he shows them of his greatness and he protected them from the torment of hellfire. So she began to cry. And she said, Oh Allah, keep me away from the torment of hellfire. Keep me away from the torment of hellfire. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he cried in his final days when he was sick. So it was said to him, why are you crying? Mayibkik, why are you crying? He said, by Allah, I'm not crying because I'm farewelling your world. But I'm crying because I have a long journey. And my luggage is small, it's weak. And I have woken and I'm going towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there is either heaven or hell. And I still don't know where I will be placed. And I still don't know where I will be placed. And that is Abu Huraira. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy upon us. Abdullah ibn Rawaha, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him. He had his head once in the lap of his wife. He began to cry. And when she saw him crying, she also then began to cry. And he said to her, why do you cry? She said, I saw you crying and I couldn't stop myself and I began to cry. And she said, then why are you crying? He said, I remembered what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the glorious Quran, وَإِن مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْدِيًّا. That every single one of you indeed will be then passed along it. And he said, I don't know. That is talking about the bridge, the Sirat. And he said, I don't know. This is Abdullah ibn Rawaha. He said, and I do not know whether I will be saved or not. See, when people recite the Quran, they are feeling every word of the Quran. And so when they understand that every single one of us will cross a bridge, and under that bridge, blazing fire, and you don't know out of your deeds, and how could you know? See, we have optimism in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have good assumption in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but truly, none of us know. And if this is Abdullah ibn Rawaha, and this is Abu Huraira, then we can only fear the worst. Anas ibn Malik said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لِأُبَيْ ibn Ka'b, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded me that you read the Quran. So here, he said, did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention me by name? See, you're saying that God commanded you to tell me to read the Quran. See, automatically he went to what is great. And he said, Did God mention me by name? Did He say to you? He said, عن أنس بن مالك أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لأبي بن كعب إن الله أمرني أن أقرأك القرآن قال الله سماني لك. Did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention my name to you? He said, نعم. He said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Lord of humanity, mentioned my name to you? He said, yes. So he began to cry uncontrollably. It was enough that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to him and said, I need you to listen to the Quran from me. You need to listen to the Quran. I need to listen. It was enough. But the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned his name, he began to cry. And see, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also allowed us to have that kind of stature. See, the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will mention our names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and those in this gathering. So we truly believe in the hadith of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he mentions that this will occur. This is enough for us to feel the closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even though Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to you that He is close. And if my slaves ask of you, O Muhammad, If my slave asks you, then say to them, I am near. I answer the call of those who supplicate. So let them call upon me and let them worship me. See, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He's close to us. So the angels are taking our names to Him and everything is registered. But our hearts are not there yet. And so we need to get our hearts there yet. One of the Salaf al-Salih, Ismail ibn Zakariya, he mentions that Habib ibn Muhammad, and he was his next door neighbor, that he would hear him cry in the morning and he would hear him cry in the evening. And so the next day he went to his wife and he said, what is wrong with my neighbor Habib? So I hear him crying in the morning and I hear him crying at night. She said, he fears, he's scared. He fears in the morning when he wakes that he will not be able to then meet the evening. And he fears at night when he's at the evening that he fears that if he sleeps, he won't see the morning. And this was a constant thing for the Salaf. They're constantly thinking of what will happen. What have I done? What have I given for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Khalid ibn Sakr al-Dawsari, al-Sadusi. He used to sit with Sufyan al-Thawri. And then he said to him that I asked permission of Sufyan in the middle of the day so he can go speak to his wife. So he said, and he went to her and he spoke to her and he heard her reading the verses, and then he said, oh yes, Ya Allah, oh yes, Ya Allah. And this is the ones that we read before. أَمْ يَحْسَبُونَ أَنَّ لَا نَسْمَعُ سِرَّهُمْ وَنَجْوَاهُمْ. And so when he said these verses, he would say, yes, Ya Allah, yes, you do. The verse means, and do they think that I do not hear what they say in public and in private? See, everything that we do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And every sin that we've committed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows. And so if we're asked to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with what we have at the moment, are you happy? Are you content with what you have? So you need to understand that every time you sit in a lesson, it could be your last. Every time you get up to pray, it could be your last. Every time you recite the Quran, it could be your last. Every time you farewell your family and get into your car, it could be your last. And this is not something that I'm saying, which is not something that is seen. Only a couple of days ago, one of the brothers, he died. Do you think that he ever thought that he will die in such a manner? Or at a time like that? And in front of his family? Do you ever think that he, when he walked outside his front yard on a day like today, a rainy day, and he stepped outside to see a small bushfire in his yard, going out there just to see how to put it out, and then a few minutes later he met his Lord. His family was looking, and his children were looking. Do you guarantee yourself of when your next minute is and when your next hour is, and if you will wake up tomorrow? See, no one actually knows, but we convince ourselves that we won't. And so the shaitan is very good at that. And that is why sometimes when we sit in a gathering and we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we feel that we are getting closer to Him, and closer and closer, and then we want to leave the masjid, and we want to pick up the Quran, or we want to play the radio and listen to the Quran. And when we get home, we don't want to sit in front of the TV and waste our time, but rather we want to sleep so we can wake up for tahajjud. We want to pray fajr on time, and that stays with us for maybe a couple of hours, couple of days, and then we return to what we were upon. So we return to forgetting Allah. We return to missing the Qur'an. We return to leaving the salah. We return to that. And so if you are a person of wisdom, you need to understand that coming to the masjid could save your life. See, coming to the masjid could save the life of your entire family. Because coming to the masjid reignites that passion, that love, and that fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it is only made to remember Allah, was only built to get closer to Allah, was only there for you to seek refuge from Allah in His house. See, if we abandon the masjids, we abandon the houses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we then rely upon ourselves, our weak selves, then don't blame anyone else. See, don't blame anyone else if you forget Allah. See, don't blame the shaitan, because the shaitan on the day of judgment will say, "Oh Allah, I just advised them, they followed. I just hinted to them and they completed the act." See, many of us, alhamdulillah, are upon deen. See, many of us are upon the sunnah. See, many of us are proud that we can call ourselves Muslim. But that is not enough. See, it's not enough because we're in a constant race. We're in a constant race to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this race, the good thing about it, it doesn't matter if you're first or even if you're last, as long as you're in the race. So if you're sitting on the sideline and you allow everyone to bypass you, Yawm al-Qiyamah, they will do the same. So Yawm al-Qiyamah, you will do the same. Because you will be sitting while others pass. And Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will see you, and he will say, "He is from my nation." And the angels say, "But you don't know what they did after you left, Ya Rasulullah." See, they left the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they left the Quran. So you left obedience. And how could you ever win a race to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So we've said many times that the reason why we don't cry is because we have a hardened heart. See, what causes that? What causes the hardened heart? The first thing is kathratul kalam, to speak a lot. See, the Salaf said, a person who speaks a lot, this kills the heart. And we're not talking about a person who speaks a lot of Allah, or reminds people of Allah, or of the sunnah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but a person who just generally speaks, does not be quiet, constantly speaking about everything and anything. This person slowly demolishes and kills his heart, and he becomes a rock or even harder. Another is to leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His book. Who can truly say that they've picked up a mushaf in the last week, in the last month, since Ramadan? So you ask yourself the question, we don't need hands. See, the sad thing is that some of us could actually say, I haven't seen the Quran in my house open since Ramadan. See, that's a catastrophe in the first place. But if that is not rectified tonight, and then you bring life to your house once again by opening the book of Allah, when you return home and reciting the words of Allah, and turning to Allah, and ask Allah for forgiveness, then you've learned nothing that of this dars, of this lesson tonight. See, if you leave that connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then don't expect your heart to have any kind of life. Increased laughter. See, many people say that, I love a laugh, and we all do. See, even Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he laughed, and he did like to joke with his companions in everything that was true. And with all due respect to everyone around him, he wouldn't lie. He wouldn't make fun of anyone. And he would like to laugh. But we're talking about those who constantly laugh. Watching things just to laugh. Saying things just to laugh. Laughter is there, morning, there, evening. Before they sleep and when they wake up, they just want to joke. A prank here and a joke there and a practical joke there. And this slowly, slowly kills the heart. Al-Hasan al-Basri was once walking in the market and he saw a young child, a man, laughing. And he stopped and he looked at him and he said, why are you laughing? Have you seen where you're going to be headed Yawm al-Qiyamah, whether to heaven or to hell? He said, no. Have you crossed the bridge yet, the Sirat? He said, no. Have you faced the scales before Allah? He said, no. Then he said, why do you laugh? And it said that that young boy had never laughed again. See, how could you when a man like Hasan al-Basri tells you a lesson? That you don't know where you're headed. See, everything's a joke to you. And as we said, it's okay once in a while. But if that is your daily activity, then that will slowly kill your heart. Eating too much, yes. Eating too much and only thinking about food and only wanting to eat food and breakfast, lunch and dinner and brunch. And this slowly eats away at your heart until it destroys it. Friends that take you away from Allah. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us. See, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the friend could be like those who hold perfume and those who are the blacksmith. And see, we know the hadith. We've memorized the hadith. I think every sheikh has told you the hadith, and especially to our youth, telling them that you need to choose your friend wisely, but we don't. We allow fate and we allow circumstance to allow our friends to come into our life. We don't choose them. And this is the mistake. And see, they stay with you. And so if it was willed that they are good, then you're good. But if it was willed that they are bad, you don't change that. But they change you. They change you. So you need to make that choice not only for yourself. See, when you get to know one of the brothers and that person becomes your friend and then his wife becomes the friend of yours, you need to know what kind of wife he has. So you need to ask your wife when she sat with her what kind of person she is. Because if that wife is backbiting, if that wife is gossiping, then you know what? Then that wife of your friend shouldn't be the friend of your wives. See, if that friend is good, then keep friendship with him, but don't allow the wives to get to know each other. And the same with the sisters. See, if you have a best friend and she is, mashallah, upon the deen, but God gave her a fitna, a trial of a man that smokes, that drinks alcohol, that gambles, that is a womanizer, that is her fitna. She's got to live with that and try to perfect her own husband. But you know what? That husband shouldn't be the friend of the husband of the wife. Because what happens is that sometimes individuals are good, but as couples they're not. You need to make that choice. See, what if you have two perfect couples upon the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but their children have tricks of shaitan. And when you enter him into your house, all of a sudden the character of your children begin to change. So your children never knew certain things on the internet and now they do. They never used to listen to certain things on their phones, but now they do. You need to ask yourself from where? You need to ask from where? Because if it's from the children of these two beautiful couples, then you stay friends with them, but their children need to stay away from yours. See, this is not a life where we need to be then hiding behind our shyness. See, this is either heaven or hell. See, this is either growing in a relationship with your partner and turning into a perfect family that one day will hold hands and walk into paradise, or you could be walking your wife into Jannah. What a beautiful sight. But your son and your daughter are on the gates of Jahannam waiting to enter it. Why? Because of their friends. See, it's your responsibility. And so friendship is one of the main reasons. One of the main reasons why our heart becomes heart. And you need to choose that. We need to understand that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He gives an illness, there's always a cure. There is always a cure. And so, very briefly, if you already have that hardened heart and you can sense it, see, when you read the Quran, nothing. And when you see dying children in Africa or Syria or in the north of Lebanon, nothing. When you see and hear of our sisters being abused in Kashmir, nothing. So when you hear the words of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, nothing. And so you know that there's something wrong with your heart. So you need to fix it. And God has given you a cure. And as we said, it starts here in His house. And joining the prayers in Jama'ah. But then also reciting His book. See, reciting the Quran with meaning and understanding is one of the best cures, if not the best cure, for a weak and sick and hardened heart. And if we do that, if we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that, and we choose our friends wisely, and we then begin to sit amongst those who are weak, and help those who are in need, and then slowly humble ourselves before the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if you help an animal. So you need to soften your heart with the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, when you sit with those that are in need and you take the shirt off your back and you cover them. See, when you take money out of your pocket and you feed them. See, that will clean and cleanse that heart. Even if it was an animal. See, even if you took an animal and fed it. Wasn't it a lady that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us of? That she was a lady of the night. And when she saw a dog licking the floor out of his thirst, she had something in her heart of mercy. So she went down and she helped this little dog. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised her Jannah. So we need to turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we do so, and we read the Quran as we should, and we listen to the Quran when we can, then know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will allow us to get closer to Him. And when we get closer to Him, the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there. And you will notice that your relationship with the creation of Allah becomes better. And the relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala becomes better. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us all to have a heart that fears Him, a heart that loves Him, a heart that yearns to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He forgives us our sins and that He raises our ranks. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has mercy upon all the scholars of Islam that came, that passed, and that are still around. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has mercy upon you and your families, your loved ones, your mothers and your fathers. May He protect your children, inshaAllah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He protects our children both in this world and allows them to enter Jannah in the hereafter. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to reward all the brothers and the sisters that attended tonight. جزاكم الله خير.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah.